The Czech Republic lost a film legend this week with the passing of director and screenwriter Věra Chytilová, aged 85. Chytilová, known for her lifelong fearless approach, was one of the brightest talents to come out of the Czech New Wave, alongside alumni like Miloš Forman and Jiří Menzel. Jan Wellinger has more.
Originally, Věra Chytilová studied architecture, but she abandoned the field for filmmaking, starting as a clapper girl at Prague's Barrandov Studios, and later working as an assistant director. Her newfound passion eventually led her to film school, where she studied at FAMU, under Czech cinema legend Otakar Vávra. At FAMU, Chytilová soon made a name for herself, but it was as a professional with her second feature film, Sedmi krásky, or Daisies, that she won both domestic and international fame. The unconventional film, released 2 years before the Prague Spring, focused on two rather unlikable main characters, Marie and Marie, a willful teen duo whose behavior is mapped in a series of madcap or absurdist vignette-like scenes. On one level, the film was viewed as a scathing critique of modern society, and that earned her the label of troublemaker under Czechoslovakia's socialist regime. Journalist Jan Foll.
Každý film Věry Chytilové provokoval.
All of Chytilová's films aimed to provoke, and were, in a sense, unforgettable. I admit there was a time when I felt that Daisies was dated and the message was no longer relevant. But gradually I came back to the film. Where before it was critical of the marasmus of socialism, its message can apply to our tabloid society of today.
Socialistickému marasmu, mimo jiné, no, tak dneska je například protestem proti bulvárnímu marasmu. Dá se to klidně tak číst.
It wasn't long before Daisies was banned and Chytilová herself was barred from making movies. The irony, at least according to some interpretations, was that Daisies was less a criticism of the socialist regime than a broader lack of values and moral crisis. Lidové noviny film critic Vojtěch Rinda.
I don't perceive it as a critic of the regime that much. It's a child of 60s. It's a film inspired by new waves of European cinema, and it definitely is absurd. It ends with a shot of those two main female characters on a table, and a chandelier falls on them. But it's more a critique of a certain lifestyle, hedonist, and non-caring about anybody else, which is basically the main topic of Chytilová's movies.
When she could bear no longer to be kept away from film, Chytilová wrote communist president Gustav Husák to allow her to make movies again. Critic Vojtěch Rinda.
She was totally unflinching and courageous, both in terms of her artistic career and lifestyle, and the way she was able to cope with the regime and being able to do whatever she wanted. So in artistic terms, she had many influences ranging from documentary filmmaking to highly stylized films like Daisies. And in her struggle with the regime, she was able to send a personal letter to President Gustav Husák in the 70s, demanding him to enable her to get back into the film business. So she really... She didn't take hostages, she did whatever she wanted.
After Chytilová returned to making movies, she was no doubt under intense pressure from censors and the regime to toe the line. But she refused to be cowed, reportedly once storming into a meeting of heads at Barrandov Studios, leading her to be forcibly carried out the front doors. On set, she was uncompromising. One of Chytilová's strongest films, Panel Story, took aim at one of the regime's sacred cows, the Panelák block, or block of prefab apartments, comfortable modern living touted by the regime. But she tore the dream apart. As some reviewers put it, the story followed the lives of residents of a communist block apartment complex from hell.
Maminko,
film critic Vojtěch Rinda again.
It was made in 1980, and that letter we mentioned before to the president, Gustav Husák, was sent in 75, 76. It was shortly after she was allowed to shoot again, and even if it were commissioned from the regime, she made it her style, and she couldn't have cared less.
Kikilová's sharp and defiant approach proved valuable not only under communism but also in the heady days that followed 1989, when many naively expected better lives overnight. Her first post-1989 feature, Gegitztví, Aneb Kurva Hrši Guten Tag, or The Inheritance in English, featured an unforgettable Bolek Polívka as a lazy and no-good forestry worker who inherits a brick factory, a factory that was stolen from his family and nationalized under the former regime. The film makes use of satire and even a little farce to dissect the behavior of the suddenly rich, lacking or having lost all real values during years growing up in a morally bankrupt system. Inheritance showed there was no guarantee that Wild West capitalism would be any better than what had come before.
Chlapi, nedělejte ze sebe křupany.
Mohl bych mít ty kaviárové tousty?
Samozřejmě, pane.
To je vůl. Kaviárové tousty. To je vůl.
Back at the time when it was released, her Dědictví in 1993, it had mixed reviews. And now in the, if we look back at it, it's one of the best movies which reflects early capitalism in Czech Republic. And it kind of predicted what would happen next. Gangsters with purple suits and people who can't deal with money. So it was a visionary thing. And for me, Chytilová is maybe the only member of Czechoslovak New Wave who was able to adapt to new conditions after the fall of communist regime, and who was able, maybe besides Jan Němec, who was able to follow new trends. Jan Němec was able to adapt to digital cinema, and she was able to adapt to new topics and new methods of filmmaking.
One aspect remained consistent, a deeper underlying message aimed at engaging and challenging the viewer, provoking further discourse. Vojtěch Rinda once more.
Story was just a means to an end. She tried different ways of storytelling, starting from documentary to highly stylized movies like Daisies. And the overarching theme was reflecting bad things in society. And the story was always like the third thing in line. She always was able to adapt to new things and to come up with a story that was relevant to the times, like the movie Kopitem Sem, Kopitem Tam. It was made in 89 and it reflects the income of AIDS. So she was always able to come up with something really up to date.
Besides continuing to make feature films, in the 1990s, Věra Chykilová also taught at the FAMU Film School. And former alumni who had classes with her include filmmakers like Radim Špaček or Bohdan Slama. In the 90s, Chykilová also worked on short profiles and documentaries for the Fabio production house for Czech TV. Cameraman Tomáš Kobalka remembers what it was like to work on smaller projects with a legend.
It was wonderful to be able to work with someone like that. Of course, it was a little intimidating at first. This was Věra Chytilová, whose films I grew up with. She was aware of her reputation and of the effect she had on people, but it also made it easier for her to approach them. As a director, she always knew what was going on. When we were shooting, she somehow knew without looking through the viewfinder whether I was in close-up or medium shot. I hadn't seen that in anyone else. She also never lost the ability to take risks. She emphasized the importance of the camera not being hypnotized by the subject, as is often the case in TV production, but to wander and to make broader visual connections. So she took risks, and who better than an artist to take them?
Je to vzácný, protože do prkínka kdo už by měl být odvázanější než ty, co se jim říká umělci, že jo?
This week there were naturally many reactions from those who had worked with Věra Chykilová, but perhaps renowned comedian and actor Bolek Polivka summed it up best. While her passing was a blow, he said, there was consolation, we still had the films. An extensive and truly remarkable body of work.
Jan Wellinger there with that tribute to Věra Chytilová.